travel to Sevierville, and the bus is going to leave at 10 a.m. So you can sign up out here in the lobby. Also, this coming week, we're going to have the Ridge Point Teens, garage sale. They'll be taking donations and drop-offs here at the church from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday. And then on, Tuesday and Thursday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., they'll be taking that after our family fellowship. So if you have anything that you want to donate for that from Tuesday through Thursday, please bring it by. They'll have people here to help you unload and get that stuff into the Family Life Center. Also this week there's going to be a CPR first aid class, and if you're interested in that, please keep that in mind. You can see it in the bulletin. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Mrs. Coyle, who is Butch Abbott's mother. She's 104 years old, and so we wish her happy birthday. We thank God for her and for her life, and we're also thankful for Butch and his work for the Lord, him and Margie both. So we've looked at the bulletin, and just to give a word about the sick folks, Brother Joe Shaw is here, but his back is really messed up, so he had to leave. And so remember him in prayer as he goes home. And then let's remember Kim Brummett. She's still having some issues with her problems, and she's still working with getting tests and to see what the doctors want to do further. So just pray for her. We'll remember these others that are getting treatments for cancer. We'll remember also Miss Teresa Payne's mom. Carl Bond had his surgery and came through great. And so we're thankful for that, thankful for answered prayer. So is there anyone else this morning that has a prayer request they'd like to have by uplifted hand? Yes, ma'am. Unspoken, okay, let's remember that. Anyone else? Okay. One thing I'm going to mention before I go to prayer, I don't know if you've heard or not, but this morning, it's in the bulletin, you can read it. The Faith Promise has reached $444,000. And so we just praise God. I mean, that's going to help take His word around the world to all these different people groups, and we just praise Him for the blessing of that. So let's go to prayer. Father, we thank You for this day, God, for Your blessings, Lord. We thank You so much, Lord, for answered prayer. God, we've seen a lot of answered prayer in our church here in the last few weeks, and Lord, we just praise You for it. And God, we've seen things happen, Lord, that only can happen because You willed it, dear God, because You answered the prayers that went up. And Lord, we thank You for that. And then Lord, we thank You again for the privilege to be here. We thank You, dear God, that there's men and women that'll stand behind a podium today and they will tell others about You. And God, that's why we're here. We're here to worship. And Lord, I pray that You'll bless each and every teacher, God, that You'll bless the upcoming service. Lord, that You'll bless the singing, everything that goes on. May it be done to Your glory. And Father, we just want to thank You and praise You again for who You are. Thank You, Lord, for all You've done for us, and bless this time for us together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, I'm going to start a study on Samuel. It's been a long time. I don't remember when I did this, if I even did it. A lot of these lessons Miss Lassley did years ago, and they've been converted and put on computer, and I have a download of all her lessons. Some really good study guides. So we're going to be looking at 1st and 2nd Samuel for the months to come. I think this will probably get us in toward Thanksgiving, maybe plumb to Christmas, depends on how the Lord leads. So I'm just going to look at an introduction to Samuel today. Got a lot to say about Samuel, because a lot of us have studied Samuel before and read Samuel, know the stories and of Saul and David and all that went on during that time. And there's so much more depth there if you really get into the word. It's an exciting time in history of the nation of Israel. The personalities there, Samuel, Saul, and David. And of course, even the children know the story of David and Goliath. And then we'll discover that the truth about these men and women, as we study through this book of the Old Testament, it opens our eyes to the history of that time period of the nation of Israel, and tells about how these men spiritually were on top and then on the bottom, and how God dealt with the nation of Israel because of the sin of the nation of Israel. So many things happened during that time. It was a transition period for the nation of Israel, coming off of the judges and going into a monarchy. They wanted a king, and God allowed them to have it. It's so many things, so many struggles and problems that application-wise, I want to always bring God's word back to application for us personally and the world that we live in. The struggles that we're having today in our nation and in the world is in this 21st century still some of the struggles that they had back then. And Jesus himself talked about this in the New Testament scripture. He talked about it in Luke in reference back to some of the things that went on during that time. So a lot of people say, well, the Old Testament's dead. Well, I don't agree with that. There's a whole lot of stuff in the Old Testament that we need to study and look at and understand and apply to our lives today, apply to the world today. We're going to be looking at the background of the book, and there's so many things that we can look at, you know, and the word, as it was translated in Greek, the book of Samuel was actually one big book. It was the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel and Kings, so it was called the Book of the Kingdoms, which was 1, 2, and 3, and 4 kings, and then they divided it up in two divisions, 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. So it was all kind of at first written, and when King James got a hold of it and started placing it, try to get it historically placed and completed, he divided these books up to make it easier to read and easier to understand. Of course, date-wise, sometimes the dates are not chronological correct, and we can see that as we go through this. We'll look at dates. Of course, the key thing is why they named it Samuel. And he was really the main character because of his early life, because of his childhood. But not only that, he anointed the two main characters of the book. So we look at Samuel, who anointed, you know, Saul and David. In both those stories, Saul's story sad. David starts out on top, and his story ends up in sad and in sin. And it's a real, we can apply any of these things to people that we know, our lives, the world. All this is easy to apply. A lot of people don't like to read the Old Testament because they say it's hard to understand. Well, if you really want to understand it, you will study it and understand it. Sometimes it may be difficult for folks to understand. Historically, you've got to get back and read. Well, you got to read the whole Bible in a whole, and then you got to start breaking it down. And there's all kinds of helps to do that kind of thing. So Samuel, really, for the Jews, Samuel's held in high esteem. See it today. They look at Samuel as a leader of the country, just as they looked at a national leader as Moses was. You know, Moses bringing them out of Egypt into the promised land. And then we have Samuel. He delivered the nation from the judges. He was the last judge and went into having a king. And then the nation went forward then with trying to have kings. Spiritually and politically, the nation of Israel appeared lost at that time under Eli's judgeship. It was the last one there. You know, the people were in an awful state, you know, and particularly the rejection of God. And I have to look at that today even more parallel to what's going on in our world. We look at the political atmosphere of our country and the world, and then we can look at the awful state of affairs that we live in, and you hear stuff all the time. You can't watch news. It's just upsetting about this and that, and judges not judging things right, not putting people in jail that needs to be held in jail, and rejecting God's word, and particularly rejecting God-fearing people, that the generations that we came from 40, 50, 60 years ago is just not here today. I was having a conversation with Levi yesterday, or the day before, and him being in England looking at the United States through that lens, he's saying, Dad, that there's people in this country are really making fun of your political leadership. And that's true maybe in the world and the situation that we have. But not only that, he's compared now, when he went to England, I don't know, it's been 10, 12 years ago, they talked about the resurrection of the many churches that were sitting empty, that had been empty. A lot of them fell apart after World War II. People gave up on their faith, and they wandered away from the organized church. And the word church has some different meanings, and we can talk about that in a minute. But that's why Levi calls his church a chapel, and most of the churches that they have over there, they call them chapels, because the word church in generations in the past denotes organized English churches, and people walked away from that organization. And not only did they walk away from that, they walked away from all kind of church organized religion, if you want to call it that, and just started serving themselves and serving the world and left all these churches empty. And that's where, when Crown College started sending James Zinker there, and then Levi was there the first year or so, they saw all these opportunities of churches open to go in and reestablish God-fearing churches. And their vision back then was to have 10 regions, they call them regions in the United Kingdom, a church in every one. And I think they're close to that. And we just took on a young man that's going to Scotland that's going to be part of that effort over there. And they've got efforts now in all over the world, in New Zealand, and they just got a big place in Africa, gave to them. A man retired, owned hundreds of acres, a safari kind of deal around Lake Victoria, and just millions of dollars of property just gave to the trust. So now they have that outreach. But they're seeing all these churches come alive because there was always a little remnant, just like we have a remnant in some of our churches here in the United States. There's always been a little remnant, and they're thirsty for the word. They're thirsty for someone to give them Bible studies and understanding of the Old Testament and understanding of the New and hook it all together. And the teaching that Crown is teaching these young people is not to go changing people into Americans, but go become an English citizen and teach it like that. Society, everybody thinks England, and they speak English, they're a lot like us. They're not. It's a different society, different way to look at it. But what are they teaching? They're teaching the same thing that we're teaching God's Word. And as he and I had talked, now he sees through two generations, a lens looking back on two or three generations that walked away. He sees our generation now just starting to walk away. This country where we have all these churches, and you can look online and you can go church buildings for sale. They're everywhere. Every little town here and there, all up and down, everywhere in this great country, there's empty church buildings. And that's just started happening over the last 5-10 years. And that started happening in England 50 years ago, 60 years ago. So we're going through the same cycle that country went, and the organized religious, I don't know how to say it. They don't like the word church. Church really means organized. Well, you just have to go back to the Latin and the way it's written in the Bible. When Christ talks about the church, he's talking about the people, of course, that he loves, the church that he loves. And Peter talking to Peter and saying, this is the rock that I'll build the church upon. He's talking about the people that come together. And that was forgotten there. Now it's starting to be forgotten here. And we need to make an effort in our church, the church that we have here at Buffalo Ridge, to teach and preach God's Word and give people understanding of the history of the book, connect the New Testament with the Old Testament. I'm drawing on some things that I learned in 2 years of Bible college. Christ set the pattern on how to teach, and he repeatedly taught things, and we need to repeatedly talk things. I think the last time this lesson got taught was in 08, I think. That's a date that I had on it. And here we are, years ahead, and I'm feeling led to do this again because it digs deep into the Old Testament So from Samuel, we'll bounce into the past, into Ruth, and we'll go forward, back and forth as we look at the Old Testament. And it'll give us an understanding of major points in the Bible. And through this, we'll be able to see how Israel, how they would get on top and serve God, then they would fall into adultery because they didn't do what God said. They didn't run out the heathen nations from the land. So from that, they join back into idol worship, and then God brings in another nation from the outside, puts them in servitude, and then they cry out to God, and God saves them out of that servitude again, and then they get back into prosperity serving God, and then another two or three generations go by and they forget about the teachings. So this cycle that we see happen to them over 1,000 years, there's no difference in that cycle today. You know, we all talk about seeing society as it is today and where people are going and how it's going. And we're blessed here at Buffalo Ridge. So blessed. We got new people coming and two services going and talking about remodeling the deacons and this and that. And we're moving forward. And the missionary offering's wonderful, biggest it's ever been that I've ever seen, the 20-some years I've been here. And we're moving forward, but as you look at the history of the nation of Israel, I have to look at mankind as a whole and think of how they lived in the cycle that they lived in. Are we in one of those cycles? And I have to think, yes, we are. And I keep referencing World War II because we had so many men come off the field back in the 40s and 50s, and when people were going to church and went to church and prayed for the men on the field, and then they came back and they got touched and went back to the field, and that's when a great missionary push in this country started after World War II. Some of the greatest missionary programs started. So those guys are all done. They're coming off the field now, and we're looking for people to fill in those spots. Levi needs people today. He's got churches in all over the country and in Africa now and New Zealand now and trying to get Eastern Europe, Finland or Holland and over in that part of the world needing church buildings set and calling to the trust and say, please send people. We need people to take this church and start it. So we're in that cycle here in this great country, I believe, just like the cycle that the nation of Israel was in this time. We've come through the prosperity in serving Christ and all the great evangelists of our past, and Preacher Lastly, and all that is in the past. And I'm not sure our country's on the downswing now, just like that cycle for the nation of Israel was going on. There's a parallel there. Now, dogmatically, can I say that? No, I can't. I can say what I think from looking at God's Word and where things are heading. And I think a lot of people that I talk to think those same kind of things. So we see Samuel kind of in the middle of a change here of the nation of Israel. It's coming through one of those cycles, and Samuel is going to guide it into the next cycle, which they go from judges to a king. And these kings were set up to be godly kings and serve God and set the country on a godly path, but it just doesn't get there. It does to a point. And then they get right back into that cycle again after many years, 50 years, 100 years. So we look at how it begins to, in the closing years of the rule of the judges, we see this time of political and moral anarchy, and the judges have been judging that. And now the people are crying out for a king because they're looking at all those heathen nations around them. They think they need to have what they have. Give us a king, God. And you remember cycle, and we'll get into that later on as we study this. Samuel was so torn with that, that the nation would not quit asking for a king. And God finally come to Samuel and said, Samuel, just let them have what they're asking for. Just give them what they want. I mean, God gets to a point in our lives and in the country's life, in society, you know, God's a gentleman. He's not going to twist our arm and make us do anything. He loves us and he died for us, but he's not going to twist our arm and make us. We have free soul liberty to choose to do right. But is the world choosing that? Is society choosing that? No. So that, and the same thing happened to the nation of Israel. So finally God just tells Samuel, said, just don't worry about it no more. You just go ahead and help get the right king in place. And we'll just give them what they want, God said. So God will do that. I know people, and you probably do too, that just when they were saved, used to go to church, and then they started doing this, and started doing this, and started doing this. And you can preach to them, you can talk to them, you can witness to them, and they may slow down a little bit, but they just keep going down that path and going down that path. Finally, God just gives them up to their sin. So here's another situation where God gave up the nation to their sinful ways. Has God give our nation up? You know, 50 years ago when we talked about Revelations a lot and studied it 40, 50 years ago, I can remember people saying, well, how's the United States play into the rapture and defending Israel and the great bear coming down? Well, I can see now that the United States may not have any effective military to do anything with the political atmosphere that we have. Is that going to get any better, or is it going to get worse? I don't know. In our time, it sure doesn't look like there's any hope. So we have a time period here in Samuel that it exactly kind of parallels a transition. And we're kind of in that transition. So I see a great parallel for our nation, not only in Samuel, but I see a great parallel in these men that would get appointed to these offices, as we have people that have been appointed to political offices in this country that are not doing the job. Greed has caused certain things to happen. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm in the energy business, I just... there's stuff going on in the energy world that would just, it's just, I can't even begin to explain how lopsided and how unscientific it is. What they're trying to do will not work, but they just keep doing it. And it will be the run of this great country if they keep on going down the path they're going. So we look at Samuel. And Saul's election as a king, you know, all this happened. Samuel was, the book's not exactly time-wise in the time period. It doesn't really say in the book, but based on Samuel's birth from other parts of the Bible, in Samuel 1:20, talks about approximately 1100 B.C. is when this all started happening, and David centered the throne. And it went on to about 10-11 B.C. So the book covers over this century of Hebrew history, about 130 years, these two books. So we see that Saul reigned 40 years during this time. David reigned 40 years this time. Of course, we know after David, his son Solomon come in place. And then after that, Rehoboam, and then the split of the nation of Israel into the north and the south, and that mess. And we could study that later on. If we're going to get deep, you just keep going down these leads into other parts of the Old Testament. So after we see it, that during, if we take it back to Joshua, and after his death, and they were supposed to run the Canaanites out and all the other people when they divided the land. Well, they didn't. So now years past Joshua, we're seeing because of that mistake that God said, you have to do that, and they didn't do it. Now we're seeing that those nations, you know, coming at them, wars, rumors of wars going on, and David and Goliath, and all that was because of that, because they didn't run that nation out of there. So this, the historical setting of this is Israel begin to try to manage the Canaanites, who were allowed to live in the land. They allowed it some generations past this, because of the sins of the fathers. Now the sin is come home to the current generation at this time. And you know, we can go back and look at Ruth. Look at what a beautiful story Ruth is. Because Ruth was the great-grandmother of David. She married into the line of Christ. Ruth did. And we know her story. What a beautiful story that is. She's from Moab. And God used Moab, that nation that was allowed to remain. See, God's sovereign control and sovereign will in things. We have to be careful to think and not try to force our thoughts and what we think is right past what God's will is. If we live and take God's word every day and understand it, not just read it. Everybody knows about Jesus and everybody knows about salvation, but really get a hold of it and apply it to our lives. That'll change your life. And that's what we're about here. We want people's lives to change because we want them to get a hold of God's word and understand the depth of it. I'm going to have to move on here. So the rise and the fall of Israel recorded in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles. So all these tells about what happens and how finally in 2 Kings you finally see the decline and the fall of Israel in the year 772. And then 136 years later, we see how Judea and everything is still suffering because of decisions were made at this turning point in the nation of Israel. So some of the words that we see that for the first time, Ichabod, you've heard that word, literally means the glory is departed. The glory of God departed. Ebenezer means, hereto hath the Lord helped us. A couple words there that appear in this part of the book. So we see another statement that's made in the Old Testament for the first time is the Lord of hosts. It's the first time in this part of the book. The place where this book occurs in the Old Testament just didn't happen. It King James, as they translated God's word from Greek and Hebrew and all that they did, and how they placed this kind of in a biblical history, we see that the Bible, you know, a lot of people look at, they look at the Old Testament and the New Testament and they say, well, these are just stories, or this is just a nice story that inspires and helps personally and do right and don't do wrong. Beautiful poetry, but they don't, people that look at the Old Testament, like I've heard, I've talked to so many people, say, I just don't understand, I can't read it, don't like to read it. The pattern of unity of the whole Bible, the history of the Bible, how it's all put together, this falls so well where it falls. I mean, it falls exactly where God wanted it to fall. I'm going to have to move along here. So, as you look at, you know, look at the first five books of the Pentateuch and the next 12 books as historical books, and that's, then we look at the next five books is the poetic books, and the last 17 books are prophetic books in the Old Testament. So all those are hooked together. This is kind of, to me, it kind of anchors everything. And this, it opens, we're going to open our eyes up to the unity of this. How stuff that was did in these books unifies the whole Old Testament. Like I say, it's a transition for the nation of Israel. And it's a wonderful thing to see how God put all this together. Folks, we can analyze and look and get data and go on and on and on. Application is the key. What does the Bible mean for me in these situations? I can give you lots of data and we'll see some things. But I'm going to try to bring all this back to my life and your life. And how does it encourage me to live? How does it warn me to live in today's world? I think us living in this transition period of our great country, this is a timely thing to look at as an example of what may happen. But personally, I want to take these lessons of Samuel and Saul and David, and I want to apply them to my life and to my family's life. You know, you look at early on, we'll start with Samuel and his birth and how his mother wanted him to be a godly man, and how we can apply that to our children. Praise the Lord for my young'uns. They're all in church, all serving God. Got a young man, a missionary on the field. Praise the Lord, that wasn't me did that. All I did, I tried to do what God said. I just tried to do the right thing, and God honored it. I didn't know enough to know. I just know Creek Boy up in West Virginia. And God honored my family because we went to church and went to church and went to church. And that's all we needed to do, know to do when we started having kids. And he honored that. And then praise the Lord, here I am here. I can remember coming down here in 99 looking for a church and think I may never find another like I had in West Virginia. And then I met Preacher Lastly. Man, God's honored. If you really want to know and you really want to understand, God will allow that to happen. You need to pray about it, seek God's face, say, God, open my eyes to this Old Testament study and show me how I should live my life. I mean, praise the Lord for Miss Lastly and Preacher Lastly. She wrote this and it's on and on. I'm just on page 8 of this introduction and it goes to 11 or 12. So it's Preacher Lastly and Miss Lastly, what an impact they've had on my life and my family's life that's here now. And what an impact it was on Levi as he was here, and now he's a missionary on the field. What else can you ask for? God's been good to me and most of you. So are we in a transition in this country? We could be. We're going to see from this study the transition of Israel, how it parallels what's going on today. Thank you for listening to me. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. God, I thank you for Christ and what you did on the cross. Lord, your blood, your shed blood, Jesus, your name. God, we love you and thank you for what you did for each one of us. We trusted you in our salvation. Lord, I pray today that our preacher would preach the word and teach the word, and someone here today's heart will be changed, life will be changed, and accept Christ as their Savior. God, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.